Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you Matthew 27, verses 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Now there are several miracles surrounding the death of Christ that are recorded here, the most prominent being, of course, the resurrection itself, by which he was declared to be the Son of God, Romans 1 and verse 4. And there was the darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth, which corresponds to our noon to three in the afternoon. And there was an earthquake with rocks broken apart. And also mentioned are graves being opened, the bodies of saints arising and going into the city and appearing to many. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. And even if some of these events might be explained naturally, and we're not suggesting that any of them were natural, but strongly believe that each one was miraculous, the fact that it all took place around the death of Christ was not just coincidental. But much of this miraculous action is overshadowed by his resurrection. Now, Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. But there are other peaks near Mount Everest that are higher than any other mountain in the world except Mount Everest. And yet few of us ever recall the name of those peaks because of their proximity to the tallest. Now this may explain why the miracles surrounding the death of Christ do not receive much attention from Bible students. The resurrection looms so large that these other things are somewhat overlooked. But let us focus attention on two of these miraculous events, and then concentrate our study on a third. Consider the darkness at an hour when usually the sun is the brightest. Amos may well have been prophetic in his reference to this event. Amos 8 and verse 9 says, And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I know of no other event that would fulfill this prophecy except the time of the death of Christ, except possibly a reference to the smoke ascending over Jerusalem when it was destroyed. Peter said all the prophets had foretold of this hour and the things that transpired, Acts 3 and verse 24. If the words of Amos were not a prophecy of this hour, it still helps us to understand the significance of the darkness. The sun being darkened is a symbolic figure of speech recognizing the fall of a great power. With the death of Christ, the dominion of Satan suffered a fatal blow. Likewise, the Jewish law and the Mosaic system came to its termination, being nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. Whatever might be true of the significance of this darkness, we cannot doubt that it was a manifestation of God's power overruling the affairs of that day. The death of the Son of God was in many respects a dark day on this earth. But what about the graves being opened, the dead being raised and walking about, and what happened to them? Why was this done? Well, only Matthew records this event, so we have little information concerning it. The fact that only Matthew records it does not lessen the reality of it or its significance. It is thought that these things may have occurred, as Scripture indicates, after the resurrection rather than at the moment of his death. We really do not know much about it, and I'd just rather leave off the speculation concerning it. Possibly his intent was to emphasize the reality of a bodily resurrection. Well, whatever was the purpose, it was a manifestation of divine power, to be sure. We read in Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." So we're content to let the unrevealed remain so, and simply recall to our attention what the Scripture says that these things did take place. But now let us turn attention to the rending of the veil. The veil separated the holy place from the most holy place in the tabernacle and later in the temple. It is described in Exodus chapter 26. There it is stated that the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. It was made according to divine instructions and specifications. The priest officiated in the holy place, and only the high priest went into the most holy place, where was located the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims, and the mercy seat atop the ark, which denoted the special presence of God. The temple was the very center of the Jewish system, and the most holy place was the centermost and primary place in the temple. Entrance into this most holy place was only through the veil. As long as the veil was intact, it preserved the sanctity of this place as well as the entire system of which it was the heart. The veil enforced the law, the priesthood system, the Jewish religion. It was a very significant element of Judaism. But at the death of Christ, this veil was rent from top to bottom. That which was formerly sanctified was no longer so. The system which it denoted lost its significance and distinction. The law, which had been a wall of partition between the Jew and Gentile, was broken down at the death of Christ, Ephesians 2:15-16, and the veil that preserved that law was no longer intact. Not only the high priest, but all the priests had entrance into the presence of God. The Jewish office of high priest ended because Jesus Christ has become our high priest, Hebrews 4:14. We approach God through Christ, John 14:6. And we are all priests if we be Christians, 1 Peter 2:9, Revelation 1:6. No longer is there any geographical place, any building, the place to worship God. It is as Jesus had said in John 4:21, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." In other words, there is no specified, sanctified one place where one can worship. The rending of the veil was a physical manifestation of the conclusion of the Mosaic Law and the accomplishment of the purpose for which it was given. And that purpose was to bring us unto Christ, Galatians 3:24. The old covenant was to be replaced with that new and better and second will by which we are saved, Hebrews 8:6, Hebrews 10:9-10. It marked the end of that which was but a figure of that which was to come, Hebrews 9:24. The rending of the veil marked the bringing in of the true. Hebrews 10:20 teaches that the veil is also a representation of the body of Christ. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil was a type of the body of Christ in that, as the veil was torn, so was the body of the Lord. In John 19, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross in the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that the legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water." Yes, the body of Christ was torn, as was the veil. The fact that the bones of Christ, by the way, were not broken was in fulfillment of prophetic words in Psalm 34:24. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. The law of Moses, Deuteronomy 21, required that no body be left hanging. And so there was the emphasis to get the body down as quickly as possible. For just as the way into the presence of God was through the veil in the temple and into the tabernacle, so our way to God is through the Christ. Colossians 1:21-22, "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As his body was torn, so was the veil torn from top to bottom." The significance of the rending of the veil might escape us if we behold the glory of the resurrected Christ and the tremendous sacrifice on the cross that preceded it, and fail to see the significance of the rending of the veil. But this tearing was a momentous demonstration of God regarding the law of Moses. It was showing a fulfillment of prophecy. It was the removal of the former covenant. It was a graphic presentation that we're all now subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. He emphasizes what Christ has done on our behalf. Authority in religion is a hotly contested matter. But among the other lessons that we learn, such as the end of the Mosaic system, and that the way of God is now through Christ, we have the answer as to whom we must turn and allow to be the guide and master of all things. Friend, the rending of the veil was not just a circumstance of interest. It had great spiritual significance. It showed the power of God. It showed that the things of God concerning the Jews of the Mosaic Law have terminated. It shows that Christ has died on our behalf. It shows the one to whom we owe our allegiance. It shows that he is the one in authority. Oh, great is the significance of the rending of the veil at the death of Jesus Christ. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.